Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, round two of the Battle of Alberta goes to Edmonton. 4-2, your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on a Sunday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you, and let's kick it off by going to the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And standing by right now is Flames defenseman Tyson Barrie, who joins us post-game this evening. Tyson, just your thoughts on a real hard-fought battle here at the Dome tonight.
Yeah, I don't think we got out to the start that we wanted to. We found a way to claw back into it. We gave ourselves a chance. Obviously got one there on the power play late, but it just shows you, you know, when we play our style of game and we can be effective and play with anybody. So we got to do that right from puck drop. I thought we spotted them too, and it's unfortunate, but you know, it's a good lesson for us.
What did you see there in that start where, as you mentioned, you spotted them too?
Yeah, it was just, you know, we didn't come out how we would have liked to. We wanted to be the ones, you know, kind of pushing the pace, and I think they got us on our heels a little bit, and just a couple little things that you know, make us successful. We weren't executing, so I think we got to it near the end of the first period, and then, you know, played pretty good hockey after that. But it just the margin in this league is so tight, you have to be able to do it right away.
Can you just give us a little bit of a thought or an idea of how difficult it can be to be kind of climbing uphill for an entire game like you were tonight?
Yeah, it is. You know, luckily it was only two, and you know, that's a very you know, you can come back from two. So we had belief in our room, and we obviously brought back and tied it up and gave ourselves a chance. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way tonight, but like I mentioned, it's a good learning lesson.
And just a final question for you. You picked up your first point as a member of the Flames, a couple of games now in a row for you. Just how'd you feel out there? How are you feeling the last couple of games, Tyson?
Yeah, good. It's nice to get a couple games in a row and get a bit of a feel. It's, you know, I got more respect now, you know, for a guy who played with a lot of guys in and out of the lineup throughout my career. It can be tough to come in after not playing for a while, so it's nice to get into a bit of a rhythm, and yeah, I'm feeling more confident and comfortable.
Tyson, thanks for doing this. Hey, good luck on Tuesday in Montreal.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Tyson Barrie post-game following tonight's 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Round two of this year's three-round Battle of Alberta goes to Edmonton. Road win for Calgary, road win for Edmonton. So the third game this year will indeed be the rubber match between these two teams. And Tyson Barrie joined us from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Okay, our Flames Talk post-game show is underway tonight. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from the Scotiabank Saddledome, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line is open, 960-960. Also joined by Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills around the table here at the Saddledome inside the Hot Stove Lounge. And Mick, our marquee matchup was simple, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Just round two of the Battle of Alberta is what we were looking at. Another hard-fought one, but, you know, I know you're just sitting down as Tyson was talking, but you know, it can be tough fighting uphill all night, and you spot them too, including 120 seconds in, where I still don't know what happened on that play. But it can be tough fighting uphill. They fought back, they tied it, but just ultimately couldn't come all the way back for the right result.
Well, especially in a game that has that much emotion and that intense, to get down a couple and to try to fight your way back is tough. But yeah, the goal 20 seconds in, and it was important, I thought, for the Flames to get off to a really good start and try to build off of their last game against New Jersey. So that one was tough. And then the second one too, I mean, it's just a bit of a weird goal, but it was the end of the day, that was a battle lost on a back check and getting to the net. And Skinner did a great job in fighting through a check and really pursuing the puck. So I guess on a positive note, though, I mean, I liked the response from the group. I thought that was really positive. It's what we frequently, more often than not, see from them is finding ways to battle back and get back into hockey games. So much better play from them, I would say, the last 2 or 3 minutes of the first period, built off of that, and were really good in the second and the third, and had a lot of shifts where they hemmed the Oilers in and really dominated the play 5-on-5, and then to see their power play score, that was fantastic, and a shorthanded goal, and to see Yegor Sharangovich get his first of the year was really good also. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's tough, like we said, to try to fight your way back into a game that has that much emotion involved in it.
The marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. Flames assistant coach Brad Larson joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as well following this one. Brad, we were just talking before you sat down, kind of the difficulty sometimes of fighting uphill all night. How much do you think that factored into the final result this evening?
I don't know about that. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the start we're looking for. We dug a 2-0 hole there. But we gathered ourselves. I thought the last 5 minutes of the first, we caught ourselves, and it was a little bit back and forth. Find a way to claw back in and get it tied up, and then, you know, we kind of take a careless penalty. And you know, those things, they seem to always bite you, don't they?
Yeah, one guy I was going to ask about, and it was Connor Zary. He seemed like he fought it a little bit tonight. Just what did you see from him in his game?
Yeah, you know, guys are going to have those nights. It, mm-hmm. It doesn't go perfect in all 82. So I think there's a way to manage those games. You want to keep gaining zones, keep going forward. There's frustrations of wasted energy. You know, when you watch guys get frustrated. So was he dead on tonight? I don't think so, but there's still some things that he was doing for us.
Is that a part of like the learning process, I guess, for him? He's still a relatively young guy and only his second year in the league. Is that kind of how you guys see it?
Yeah, the more games you play consecutively and in the NHL, you understand that not every night you're going to have your legs, not every night you're going to have your hands. So but there's many ways to impact the game. There is, and in a positive way or a negative way. So you want to get to the positive side. Obviously, that's the priority. And yeah, he'll learn like everybody else does.
On the flip side, I think you'd agree that accountability is really important. And the coaching staff, I think, has held players accountable. In the last game, Andrei Kuzmenko was basically benched in the second half. I was anxious to see how he responded. Safe to say you liked his response against the Oilers tonight?
Yeah, you know, you could see him moving his legs. He was attacking the game. He's a dangerous player, and he's a very good player when he's moving his legs. He was a much better game than he had the other night, for sure.
We're chatting with Brad Larson, Flames assistant coach, following this 4-2 setback against Edmonton. Kind of on a positive note as well, Anthony Mantha scores the goal. He was all around it in front of the net. I'm curious, is a night like tonight kind of a real good example of the way Anthony can impact a game positively?
Yeah, he's got such a big frame. He skates well. He's got a great shot. But you see the two goals we scored, it's just traffic. The goalie can't see around him. And one he gets a piece of, and the other one he doesn't. But he's in the goalie's eyes. And the thing about his size is when you go to the net, you're taking someone else with you. It's not just a one-man screen. There's two guys there, sometimes three. So, you know, that's a big focus for us, get more guys to the net. And he's done a good job. And both those goals were really a big reason why we scored, is because he's standing right there.
And you guys get a power play goal in this game, a shorthanded goal as well. What did you see on both sides of specialty teams?
Well, you know, I think the power play goal was big. You know, when you're struggling, it's like nothing comes easy, right? And so they find a way to get one in a big moment. I think that was huge for them. And then the penalty kill, there was lots of good there tonight, and we just kind of overplay. We don't get the 200-foot clear. And when it's on our tape, it gets out of the blue line. Then we're kind of a little bit late closing, and then their two skilled players make two skilled plays, and that's the margin. You know, if it goes down, we get a change and refresh. And we don't. So it's unfortunate that that was the one, because we certainly didn't give up much tonight. There wasn't a lot of danger going on. But, you know, you got to manage the puck well, because a team like that can make you pay.
I'm not sure if you see it the same way, but I thought there was a lot to like in those losses versus the Hurricanes and the Jets. And tonight's game reminded me a little bit of those two games where I thought you guys were the better of the two teams in the final 45 minutes. Are there some positives you can take out of this loss to the Oilers?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I think there's lots of things that you look at, and that's why you go over the video again and you try to fine-tune your game and areas that we can get better. But, again, we dug ourselves a hole. The positive, we got to our game a little bit more. We had some action around the net. We get in there and we don't get the job done, unfortunately. But yes, there's definitely things that we can look at and walk away with our head high.
Brad, first off, just watch your head on the way out. I don't want to. There's something right above you. So I don't
I've already hit my head once.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the time. Good luck on Tuesday in Montreal.
You.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Brad Larson is the assistant coach of the Calgary Flames, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge following tonight's 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson, Pat Steinberg along with you. Haven't even said hello to Willsie yet. Hi, Willsie. One of those nights where a lot, as you mentioned with Brad, a lot of good things. Sometimes when you spot a team like the Oilers who are far more to their brand of hockey and things have normalized since the last time these two teams played 3 weeks ago, you know, if you spot a lot of teams in this league a 2-0 lead, it's going to be tough to come all the way back. They came back to tie, but then you take a penalty, another Martin Pospisil pretty poorly timed offensive zone penalty, and the Oilers made him pay. I'm just curious as to how you saw this one tonight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't like the start. You're down 20 seconds into the hockey game, and then you give up another one before the 9-minute mark. But, and I know Mick sees it a little bit differently, but they settled in, and they got the game back to even. It's 2-2. You start from square one again. And then
I don't see it differently. That's the way I saw it, too. I didn't like the start, but then I thought they battled back and did a great job.
No, but you had just said that it's tough when you dig yourself into a two-goal hole, but they climbed out of that. So for me, it was almost like the game started over at that point. And you could even argue that because they scored two goals to tie it, the Flames had momentum kind of coming out of a 0-0 hockey game when it was 2-2. So I liked a lot of what I saw from the Flames tonight, but you have to play closer to a full 60 minutes. And I think that's probably your point, is that you can't start 10 or 15 minutes into a hockey game and expect to get the result that you want. But again, in the final 45 minutes, I thought the Flames played really well. I thought they were the better of the two teams. What's tough is that is another Martin Pospisil penalty that hurts the team.
Yep.
And it wasn't as bad as some of the other ones that he's taken, at least not in my opinion. Ones where he wasn't moving his feet or, you know, took a liberty that he shouldn't have. But you have to have a better feel for the game and the situation and to send the Oilers. And I know they've struggled on the power play this year, but to give them a power play in the third period of a 2-2 game, you can't do that. So it's a lesson that he's, again, going to have to learn.
Well, the thing that I would say on the falling down 2-0, I've talked to enough guys, and of the three of us, I'm the one who played at a high level, as we all know. I've talked to enough guys that you expend a lot of energy. You're fighting downhill, you're down early, and so now you're fighting and you finally tie it up, and then, you know, it's like I've talked to enough guys that say that can be tough and it can be pretty taxing, and they finally get even, and then a few minutes later that penalties taken, it's kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that would be the only thing that, like, yes, they did come back, but you don't want to put yourself in a spot where you have to expend all that energy to get back into a game. That would be my only point on why I still think you really got to be careful in spotting teams, desperate teams like the Oilers, too, that type of two-goal lead.
I would just say that you have to be even more careful not taking penalties at a bad time. And unfortunately, Martin Pospisil has taken too many tough penalties this season that have hurt this team. And again, I get it. He's the type of player who really does have to find that fine line between being aggressive but not being too aggressive. And that has to be hard. And Mick, something you've talked about in the last couple of weeks is that if you're thinking about it, then you're probably not going to be as impactful a player because you're almost second-guessing yourself, and that doesn't allow you to play with the pace that this team has to play with.
Yeah, and just one quick point off of what Pat said, too. It's the physical energy to battle back into the game.
Mental.
And it's the mental energy. And for me, also building off what you said, then you take that penalty, and it's kind of like you get kicked in the gut.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it all compounds, and mentally it's really tough. So I definitely agree with Martin Pospisil. I thought that, you know, the games after he was benched, to me, there was a noticeable change in the way that he was playing. He was playing more safe. And as a result, he wasn't as noticeable. He wasn't driving the play as much as he normally does. And it looked like in the game against New Jersey, he kind of found that, got that back again, was impactful, was physical. And then again, comes into this one and just sort of crosses the line. In his defense, it was a bit of an awkward play. And he got kind of an elbow shoulder. His helmet was crooked going into the corner. And so he was in that moment as a player, like you're all fired up and you're feisty and you're using your body to try to gain position. And in that play, he had two hands on his stick and, you know, you end up turning around the wrong way. You catch a guy in the face. But obviously the coaching staff wasn't super happy with it and that he sat down for a little while after that. So
yeah.
It is hard as a player to try to find that balance. And I mean, I was one of those players at time. I ended up in the box a lot, I will say. I was one of those players that, and I know there wasn't hitting in women's hockey, but I tried to play on the line. And it is really tough to kind of to find that balance, but to also make sure that you're not going out there and trying to play safe. We've heard Ryan Huska talk about it all the time. They want... And he calls him Marty. They want Marty to be Marty and go out and play the way that he plays when he is the most impactful, and that's physical and with an edge. So just a matter of kind of fine-tuning that, kind of like Connor Zary. I mean, it's his second year in the league, but he's got to figure that out pretty quick.
And that's the second time in the last couple of weeks the Flames have taken a penalty in the third period of a tie hockey game and lost on a power play goal against.
Yeah.
Now, I still don't like that call on Nazem Kadri against the Jets. I think it was the right call on Martin Pospisil
tonight.
Yeah,
this one was a little
less controversial.
Clear cut,
black and white, not gray. But it's just tough. You battle almost all night because, again, I didn't like the start. But beyond that, I liked a lot of the things the Flames did in this game against the Oilers tonight. And then to lose on a power play goal against like that in the third period, that's tough. But, again, after they give up that goal, they're down 3-2, and they still had some chances to tie it.
They had a power play, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which did not score. And that could have been a really good time to pop another power play goal this evening. Let's select tonight's hardest-working Flame after a 4-2 loss to Edmonton. I'm curious which way you're leaning, Mick, on this one tonight.
This one's a pretty easy one for me, and it's going to be Anthony Mantha. I just thought he was really impactful. We heard Brad Larsen talk about him going to the net. I talked about it on the broadcast as well. I mean, when you're that big, you have a big frame like he does, it's almost impossible to move somebody in front of the net. And as Brad said, you take somebody with you. So I think that's an area of his game that hopefully tonight, like he's seeing how impactful he can be when he can get to that net front area. It was a really nice tip. That's a skilled play to deflect the puck down.
And he knew exactly
he
where his stick was too. Hey?
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, on the other goal, he's a screen and he doesn't get an assist on it, but that goal doesn't happen unless he's standing right on top of the blue paint. So thought that he skated really well, made really good decisions with the puck, and was rewarded for that goal on the power play.
So Anthony Mantha is your hardest working Flame tonight. And final line on Mantha, you want to see this, the four shots on goal. That's really important. Six attempts too is really big. Over at Natural Stat Trick, three of his four shots were high danger scoring chances as well. So that is the type of night, right, Mick? That, like, and we know like there's always been that knock of the inconsistency of Anthony Mantha. I remember Wes always goes back to this quote, and he's got me thinking about it as well. You know, Ryan Huska on day two of training camp says there have been times coaching against Mantha where I think he's the best player on the ice for the other team. And there are also nights where he's a little more inconspicuous. But tonight, that's how Mantha can really impact a game, and that's what the Flames need more of on a regular basis.
Well, he was physical too. He had two hits on a night where the team wasn't as physical as they normally are. They only had 13 hits tonight. Normally they're up in the high 20s,
even
30s. Yeah, the other night they were at 30. So thought that was good. I mean, he should be using his body. He's a big guy, and now for him, if he's going to be an impactful player on this team, you got to string a couple together now.
Yeah, and I don't think 300 shots is probably within reach.
No,
with the four he got tonight, he's up to 14 through 12 games. That's yeah. At least he's above one per game now.
But those four shots, that's the type of night the Flames want to see more of. Yeah. And one of the frustrating things, I do think he's been better here the last two or three games. One of the frustrating things I know from people on the outside is you're not, even when he's being somewhat inconspicuous or invisible, you still should be shooting it more with the shot that he's got. And so to see four tonight, that could be a real step forward for him.
You're not going to be shooting the puck, though, if you're not in an area to get the puck.
True.
And you're not in an area to get the puck unless you're skating and working to get there. So I think that's the key for him, is making sure that you're working hard to find those pockets and those spots to get passes.
Yep.
And I think the guy on the other side of that line is doing much the same. I know he finishes without a point and minus two tonight, but I really like Jonathan Huberdeau's game again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is skating and he's getting involved in battles. And that one between the legs pass that he made that set up a scoring chance was just ridiculous. There was like a handful of guys in this league that can do that. But I think they're starting to find something there. And then how about Yegor Sharangovich scoring his first goal and winning 57% of his faceoffs, centering those two guys tonight? They might have something with that line.
Okay. Final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, 4-2. Flames fall to the Edmonton Oilers. We will not get the winner of this year's Battle of Alberta until March 29th. That's when round three goes between these two teams. Only three games head-to-head between the Flames and Oilers this year, which we all agree
ridiculous.
Is silly.
Yeah.
But March 29th at Rogers Place in Edmonton is the next time these two teams meet. Flames take one on the road. 3 weeks later, Oilers take one on the road. This year's Battle of Alberta tied one game apiece. Okay, text lines open at 960-960. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat, give us a call now. It's your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We will hear from head coach Ryan Huska very shortly, but first, final thoughts from our broadcast team, starting with Megan Mickelson. Mick?
Yeah, there's a few things I take away from this one, and I know it kind of recapped the game already, but I would say I really have a lot of respect for the way that Ryan Huska holds his players accountable. But I also really like the response from the players when they do take a seat or they're moved down to different lines. And you can see just their level of competitiveness and the response and how they come out. And we've seen it from a number of players. Tonight we saw it from Andre Kuzmenko. I think on Tuesday in Montreal we're probably going to see it from Connor Zeri. So I think that just continues to be something that is, it's holding the entire group accountable and knowing you can't take a shift off, you can't take a bad penalty, or else, you know, it's something that the coaches are going to see. The other thing I take away is how dominant the Flames were in the offensive zone at times. When they had control of the puck, the plays that they were making, the puck patience, the poise, it was really impressive for me. And it has again shown that they have the ability to be a really good hockey team if they can play a more consistent 60 minutes of hockey. So I think those are the two biggest things that I take away from this. As Brad said, there's a lot of really good things that you can take away, some solid play, and maybe now the power play, you get one goal, kind of keep it rolling. But, you know, there's a lot of things to like, and, you know, I think that they should be heading on this road trip feeling pretty good about their game, but recognizing they need to string some more wins together.
Yeah, it's funny. There's an old saying, a loss is a loss, or I guess a win is a win. But when I think about the last five games the Flames have lost, I really like them in those games against the Hurricanes and the Jets. And sometimes you play a good game and you get beat by a good team, which is what happened those two nights. The next two games, I thought they played absolutely awful against the Golden Knights and the Utah Hockey Club and lost by a combined score of 10-1, and I would say deservedly so. But this game reminds me way more of the losses to the Hurricanes and the Jets. You're up against a good team. You play a good game. You're probably the better of the two teams for more than half the hockey game, but you don't play close enough to a full 60 minutes. And at the end of the night, you don't end up with any points. But I do think that there are a lot of positives that you can take out of this game. One negative would be you get the orders without Connor McDavid. You'd love to be able to take advantage of that. And the Flames, unfortunately, didn't tonight. But off to Montreal, and we'll see how they look against the Canadiens to get a three-game road trip going on Tuesday.
All of a sudden, that becomes a pretty important game. Flames have now lost mm-hmm. 5 of 6, all in regulation. Yeah. So it becomes a pretty important game for this Flames group that is trying to keep their head above water early on this season. Okay, friends, be well, and we will talk to you on Monday and Tuesday.
Good night.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills signing off on this Sunday. Round 2 of the Battle of Alberta goes to the Oilers. 4-2, your final score. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska as he just wrapped up as well his postgame thoughts following this one here at the Dome.
What did you see being the difference tonight?
First 10 minutes, I didn't like the start that we had. From that point on, I liked our game. And then a late penalty.
Martin's taken a few of those in the ozone. Like, how do you try and coach that with him, or how do you approach that with him?
Well, we'll do our best to coach out of him. There's different ways you can do that. A lot of that's on the player. Twice now, so it's not okay.
What did you make of Andrei Kuzmenko's game tonight?
I thought he was very good. You know, that's why he got himself bumped up tonight. He moved his feet. He was the guy that we know that is a hard guy to play against with the way he cuts back and is strong on a stick and on the puck. So tonight was the way we expect him to play all the time.
And with Connor's area sort of getting bumped down, was that anything about Connor's game or more about how Kuzmenko is playing?
Connor, to me, was like Kuzi the other night. He wasn't moving his feet.
Mm-hmm. When we talked to Kuzmenko, he was quite critical of himself, I guess, and it very much focused on him not scoring and him just feeling. Where do you stand on that?
All guys that are offensive players, if they're not scoring, they feel the burden at times, and sometimes when you're not scoring or it's not coming easy for you, you have a tendency to try to do a little bit too much, and that includes stick handling or making plays that aren't there to be made. And I think he got himself into that a little bit, and sometimes you just got to remember you got to move your feet. The game can be a simple game at times. If you move your feet and you shoot the puck when you get opportunities to, things typically turn around if your habits and your details are the right way.
You obviously mentioned Pospisil's penalty, but was it frustrating to take a too many men penalty at the end?
Yep. For sure.
What happened there?
Somebody jumped when his player was still on the ice.
Bad idea.
So when it comes to those penalties and whatnot, like what's like how do you approach sort of benching a guy versus sending him out right away? Like how do you in the game? How do you make that?
I think
call?
It depends on situations. Everything is situational as to what you think you need at that certain time.
When you refer to possible, so you say that's the second time that a penalty of his has cost you the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's a type of player that's got to play with an edge, but it's not a reckless type style that he has to play, because at the end of the day, points are so valuable, so hard to win in this league, that if you overstep the boundary a little bit, then it can cost a team. So I think he understands it, and he's got to really work to be a better player in that regard for us.
There are going to be people who look and just see this battle and see the records for the last 5 or 6 for each team and say, these are two teams moving in different directions. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that statement?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, there's a lot of our game that I like tonight. So, yeah.
We talked so much about getting sort of overall, and then what specifically did you see tonight?
The strength in the puck is one thing. You saw tonight there's multiple times where he's standing right in front of the net. That's how he scored his goal. And for a guy that's his size and has his ability with the puck, that's what we need of him. In the times where we haven't seen him at his best is when, like I made the comment earlier, if he's not moving his feet. And that goes for all players. But when he is, he's a hard guy to handle. So tonight I thought he was moving his feet and he was around the puck tonight.
Kevin Ball got his 5th point of the season already. Last year, I think in 82 games, he had 11. Have his offensive contributions been sort of an unforeseen surprise a little bit?
I think he's brought a lot of value in the type of defenseman he is for us. Whether the offense is there or not, I don't think it matters. I think his role is to make sure he's a hard guy to play against. I think he's done a really good job with that. Everything else is kind of a byproduct of the way he's played.
What changed during the end of the first period that got your group back into that game?
During the period?
Yeah.
We started skating, and I thought there was a little bit more compete in our game. You know, we spent more time in the offensive zone instead of being one and done type thing. So we spent a couple longer shifts in the offensive zone, and I felt got our game going.
That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game following tonight's 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, we are underway. It is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Give us a call now, 403-240-4444. Fire us a text at 960-960. Flames Talk post-game on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Following a Flames 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers in round two of this year's three-round Battle of Alberta, it is your Flames Talk post-game show from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Pat Steinberg along with you on a Sunday night. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's how you can get us at any time on your Flames Talk post-game or any of our Flames Talk programming on our Flames Talk podcast feed. Obviously didn't like the start. You can't leave the best player on the ice open like that with the best backhander in the world all alone in the slot 20 seconds in. Skinner scores to make it 2-0. The Flames give him credit, and I don't think anybody expected them to go quietly away tonight. And they didn't, and they fought back and tied it. I do wonder sometimes when you fall down, if you know, it's like it's a big mental battle to get yourself back, and then all of a sudden you take a penalty, and you know that's just a penalty that you can't take. And then all of a sudden, you've got another mental battle. You're like, geez, did we just take another ozone penalty? And then this time, Zach Hyman scores to give the Oilers back their second lead of the night, and this one they'd hold on to. But, you know, as Brad Larson said, as Wilsey and Mick said, I mean, definitely still lots to like about this game. I thought that the Flames did a nice job of controlling a lot of the 5-on-5 zone time, which is something that I didn't see coming with the way this game started, and I thought that was a generally a pretty big positive. When it was all said and done in all three periods, the Flames won the 5-on-5 possession battle in the ozone. Flames finished 55.6% when it comes to ozone possession time or shot share over at Natural Stat Trick. At 5-on-5, the Flames generated, and as Brad Larson said, other than the first period, didn't give up much at all. Flames allowed 5 5-on-5 high-danger chances tonight, and only one of them in the final 40 minutes. There was still lots to like. By no means is this a complete write-off evening for the Flames, but you fall down 2-0, and you take a bad penalty in the final 10 or 12 minutes of a hockey game. Sometimes you're going to lose, and Stuart Skinner played well. He gave the Oilers a fighting chance in this one. Leon Draisaitl was best player for the Oilers, no questions asked, and comes away with a goal and 3 points. I mean, yeah, sometimes you're going to lose games like this, and it really turns this next game in Montreal into a big one. Flames have now lost 5 of 6 in regulation. They had that 4-game losing skid. They bounced back nicely with the win over New Jersey 2 nights ago and then fall back with a regulation loss here this evening. And yeah, I mean, as you heard Ryan Huska say, those penalties like Martin Pospisil took can't happen, especially in a 2-2 game at that stage after you had fought back to tie the hockey game. That's one that you can't take, and the Oilers made the Flames pay. It was Martin Pospisil who took it. We've seen some ozone penalties for him. Remember, a few nights ago, he was sat down after taking 2 ozone penalties. Tonight he takes a bad one when it really couldn't happen. Let's hear from Martin Pospisil. He came to face the music post-game inside the Flames locker room. Let's check in with the Flames forward following this 4-2 loss tonight.
What did you think was the difference in that game tonight?
I think, you know, the first period, I think they kind of had more energy, but we got back to our game, and I think we were a better team. All of a sudden, they scored on the power play, and that was tough to tie the game.
Understanding, this probably seems like a stupid question, how awful of a feeling is it to be the guy in the penalty box when that goal goes in?
That's all. It feels pretty bad, especially when I try to be careful on that kind of penalty, you know. And also, I tried to lift a stick, and also it was a high stick. Yeah, it feels bad, and it can happen, especially in a tight game, and I have to learn from it.
How do you think you learn from something like that, Martin, and not taking those Ozone penalties?
I mean, like I said, every game I try to be careful. You know, this is kind of bad luck, but I think I'm getting better, and hopefully it won't happen again.
Is there much positive to take out of the fact that you guys came back in the game and made it close?
Yeah, you know, when you're playing our game, I think we are really hard to play. The team play hard against, so you know. We just have to keep playing our game and stick with it.
What was missing off the start, did you think?
I think their energy. I think they brought more energy than we did, and you know, I think the first period they dictated the game. So, but the second period was much better, and I felt like we got back to our identity, and we played way better.
There you go, Martin Pospisil, post-game tonight following a Flames 4-2 loss to the Oilers. Pospisil was the gentleman who took that penalty that put the Oilers on the power play in the third period. Zach Hyman scores on that power play. That's your game-winning goal. And as you heard Martin say, yeah, just can't take that penalty at that time. That was just a really poorly timed penalty. You know, 190 feet from your net. So that's a frustrating one, and we'll see how he learns from it going forward. Let's get to tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For the first time this season, a goaltender goes on consecutive nights. Dan Vladar got the shutout on Friday, and then he goes again tonight in this Battle of Alberta Sunday, and Dan Vladar's save of the game comes in period number 3.
Flames Miramanov will move it far side. His pass eludes Kuzmenko. The puck comes out. Hyman will make that. Brown steals it, steps in, shoots, and Vladar fights that shot off.
That is one of the 27 saves made by Dan Vladar tonight. That's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. I didn't think Vladar was really at fault for either of the two goals that went in to make it 2-0. I mean, that Draisaitl shot 20 seconds in, I cannot stress how difficult that must be to stop, because you just have no idea. It's not a typical shot. Draisaitl's backhand is so stupid good that you don't know where it's going off the stick. You know, you have a much better read if that's his forehand, but because it's his backhand, it's so much harder to read. So you can't, and Draisaitl was left all alone with no time in the world. I still don't know what happened and where everybody was going on that play. So that makes it 1-0. You know, odd man rush and a nice skilly play by Jeff Skinner after Vladar made the initial stop on the 2-0 goal. And what a finish. Like that was vintage Zach Hyman on the 3-2 goal. So I did think Vladar looked shaky in the first 10-15 minutes of this hockey game, but I don't think that shakiness played into the fact the Flames fell down 2-0. And then I thought Vladar really settled in, managed the game well throughout the second period and into the third. So I thought it was still a quality start for Vladar, but to me, becomes pretty easy to go back to Dustin Wolf for the game Monday in Montreal and then kind of go from there after that. I mean, you've still got a lot of hockey. The Flames play 3 games in 5 nights on this road trip. They come home and then play a back-to-back home road on Monday, Tuesday of next week. Like, this schedule still a bit of a meat grinder, so if you're the Flames, you need both goaltenders here for the next little while, and so I think a pretty easy call, if you ask me, to go to go back to Dustin Wolf on Monday in Montreal. Okay, let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960, starting with Kyle, who says, that was a frustrating game to watch at times. That was the worst start I've seen from Ball and Anderson. Both goals, it was them. Both times, good defensive plays would have likely resulted in a different outcome. The entire team looked flat to start. The second was great. Third, even better. Turnovers were kept at a minimum for the Flames, at least, which was really great to see. But the Pospisil penalty again in the third period cost him. That was a bad penalty. The bench miner was on Huska as well. I'm stoked Sharon Govich scored. That's got to feel great. this is probably one game I really wanted Anderson to score and just stare down another fan. These games are fun to listen to. The crowd gets right into it. Best rivalry in the league, in my opinion. There's a lot we can pick apart, but there's a lot to really like. A bit more time will really start to gel, then look out. This from Scotty in Victoria says, honestly, Pat, I thought it was a really good battle of Alberta. Flames played well for the most part, but bad penalties killed it for them. It also seems to be Pospisil with the untimely penalties. That hurt them after they tied it. And don't get me started on the too many men. That being said, it made for a very interesting final 2 minutes. I can't believe they almost pulled that off. Shorthanded, pulled goalie, keyword almost. Anyways, 1-1 in the BOA. Let's get them next time. Have a good night, Pat. That comes from Scotty in Victoria. This says, unsure if the Flames coaching staff is team tank like me, but Kuzmenko was by far the best player on the Flames, and he's on the fourth line. Unsure if I'll tune in again this season if I have to endure another Kevin Rooney effort. Well, a couple of things there. Number one, three things, in fact. No, there is not a single coach who's on team tank. That would be ludicrous. Number two, Kuzmenko started on the fourth line, finished with Kadri and Pospisil, and in the final 40 minutes was very much not on the fourth line anymore. And Kevin Rooney actually played quite well tonight. I have zero issues with the way Rooney played this evening. I do think Kirkland will get back in, but I had no issues with the way Rooney played tonight. I thought he had himself quite a nice night. In fact, was one of Calgary's most effective players at 5-on-5. So I actually thought Rooney had himself a good night. That line, I thought, was quite good, and Rooney was a part of it. So, look, you want to pick on Kevin Rooney, you're free to, and there's not much of an argument to be made that Kirkland is outplayed Rooney this season, but with the waiver status entering the conversation and Rooney getting an opportunity tonight, he played well, man. I had no problems with Kevin Rooney. I thought he was for what he's asked to do and what that line is asked to do. That was a very, very effective night. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. Two big mistakes to start the game. Otherwise, I wouldn't change a thing. I love to beat Edmonton, but this is a really well-played game by the Flames. This says, first off, it's infuriating to lose to the Oilers. Where the heck is the urgency in the first half of the game? Don't even think it was the first half. It was just the first half of the first period. I don't know. I really don't know. What was happening, especially in those first 20 seconds or so. I don't know how you let Draisaitl get that free. And he's elite at finding soft spots, don't get me wrong, but still, you're 20 seconds in and you've got Anderson running all over the place and balls chasing into the corner, and then all of a sudden Coleman's coming back to try to get Draisaitl. I just don't know how that quite happens, and you have that much of a defensive scramble 20 seconds into a hockey game, but it happened. This reads from our buddy Dylan in Revelstoke. This says, blah, blah, bad penalty on Pospisil, but can we talk about how rarely Kadri's hero mode actually works? Bad turnovers the whole game because of a refusal to use his line mates. Listen, I know he's a great player when he plays with his teammates, but he doesn't do that far too often. He did everything I can't stand about his game today every time he got the puck. That comes from Dylan and Revelstoke. Dylan is Dylan's my good buddy, and I love when he texts. I don't know if there is a guy on the planet who falls, in my opinion, who falls to prey to the confirmation bias more than Dylan does. I'm speaking right to you, Dylan, more than you do. Andrew Mangiapane could do no right. He could score 9 goals in a game, and he'd still be mad that he fell down once. And, yeah, Nazem Kadri likes to have the puck. There's no doubt about it. And at times, he does try to go hero mode. A lot of times, it works. Tonight, I thought he fought it a little bit. But generally, Nazem Kadri's been one of their best players all year long. And I never get a lot of texts from Dylan when Kadri has a really good game. But Dylan knows I love him, and that's why I know that I can take a few runs at him, because I know that he listens all the time, and he knows I love him. This comes from Mark, who is on his way from Calgary to GP. Pat, why didn't the Flames get a power play when the Oilers challenged the high stick goal? Very simple, because they didn't challenge it. So a high stick is not a challengeable play, high stick is automatically reviewed. So every goal they look at immediately after it's scored in the situation room, and things like a high stick or being kicked in, whether the puck crossed the goal line, those types of things are not coaches' challenges. Those are automatic reviews. So doesn't matter which way the call goes, it's not coming from Chris Knobloch or Ryan Huska. So that was not a coach's challenge. That was a video review. There's a little bit of a difference, right? They're both video reviews, but, you know, a goaltender interference or an offside that's initiated by a coach's challenge, a high stick or a kicked-in puck, that is initiated by the league, and thus there is no penalty power play that results afterwards. So there was nothing missed because it wasn't a coach's challenge. Nathan in McKenzie Lake says, I didn't like their first period, but thought the boys rebounded nicely in the final 40. Turned into a great game. Another careless penalty from Pospisil, which cost him. Very frustrating. That's what decides this game. Didn't help they took a too-many-men penalty with 2 minutes left. They played well, but self-inflicted mistakes cost him. Question for you, Pat. Seemed like Zeri had less ice time in the back half of the game. Any idea why? Yes, because he did get demoted. He started on the Kadri line. He finished with Rooney and Lomberg. And a big reason for that, as you heard from head coach Ryan Huska, the coach just didn't feel like he was moving his feet very well tonight. So he got demoted. Kuzmenko got the bump, deservedly so, onto the Kadri line. Kuzmenko had his first best game, rather, in quite some time. This from Dale and Drumheller. Speaking of which, best game of the season for Kuzmenko. Made something happen every time he touched the puck. Wouldn't be surprised to see Hospital take his spot on the fourth line next game, as he would actually be a decent fit there. Plus, he needs to dial down the costly penalties. They played decent tonight. Give Stuart Skinner some credit for the Oilers' win. Yes, Skinner did play a very strong game tonight as well. This from our buddy Ash, who said Kuzmenko and Coleman were the best Flames on the ice. Finally, Huska's already annoyed with Pospisil's bad ozone penalties. This won't help. While I realize the game is not entirely on him, as the Flames could have tied the game on their ensuing power play opportunity, I wouldn't be surprised if he's demoted to the fourth line next game. Ella in Okotoks says, I'm glad that Kuzmenko was a positive. He was exciting to watch, and I love when he's noticeable and making impactful plays. Pospisil continues to frustrate with that penalty in a tie game. As a fan, I immediately was deflated and had a feeling the Oilers would score on the power play as soon as he took that penalty. I'm glad the Flames were competitive, and I also liked the fourth line tonight. I'm with you, Ella. I had the fourth line had themselves a really strong game tonight. Here's Todd in Kamloops. Only listened. Sounded like an exciting game. Other than the start, first 10 minutes, I think the Flames dominated. I want to see more of the CBC line, Coronado, Backlund, and Coleman. I know CBC's a swear word at times, but I'd like to see more. Thought the effort after a slow start was great. Need more of a 60-minute effort like the Devils game. That would be the benchmark until they put another game together like that. Cheers. Love the program. Great job, Pat, and everyone involved. Tim in Hillhurst says, Pospisil was a liability again with nothing on the score sheet except for a minor high sticking penalty. He has 5 points in 12 games and has had zero chemistry with Kadri tonight. Why are the Flames so high on this guy? I don't see it. Well, look back to last year and the way that he impacted games with his speed, with his tenacity, with his ability to get under opposing team skins. That's why the Flames are so high on him. Just this season hasn't been as effective, and tonight, yeah, took a bad penalty that really ends up hurting the team. Rick in Lakeview says, though very disappointed with the outcome, both the hopeful like myself and the brain numb scorched earthers should be satisfied with one like this. Thumbs up to Huberto, Mantha, and Kuzi tonight. Go Flames, go. Joel and Cranston, once again, the Calgary Flames are not ready at puck drop despite saying in every post-game interview they need to be ready. Ball was on for the first two goals. On the second goal, he couldn't handle Hyman. Glad to see Huska is finally benching players. I actually thought he handled Hyman perfectly. It was actually Rasmus who was late coming back on that and had a harder time handling Skinner. Not even to say that Anderson played that poorly. He just was, I just thought Ball did a nice job of wrapping up Hyman, did a nice job and actually forced Hyman to pass. And, you know, Anderson, maybe a little late, did his best to try to wrap up Skinner, which allowed Vladar to make the first stop, but then a nice job by Skinner to follow up and make it, on the second effort, make it 2-0. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, on Pospisil, I know coaches hate that stuff, but from a development standpoint, I'd rather he play his way and take some dumb penalties now. The maturity will come, but if you try to force it into him, you risk neutering what you like about him in the first place. This season isn't the one to be fretting about penalty differential at the expense of development. Shub says, solid game all around. Love the Flames pulling Vladar to catch the Oilers' power play unit off guard. Completely took that power play over. Trent writes, Pat, always sucks losing to the Oil. Move on to the next one. I think Vladar has been just good enough to keep them in it, but I feel like he was shaky both games against the Oilers. If the two goals didn't get called back last game, they would have lost. Thankfully, everything was going against the Oil at that time. Hopefully, the Flames bounce back against Montreal. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, time to sit Pospisil down. He's costing the Flames late in games. Claude writes, Pat, coming into this game, their power play, as lean as it's been, was still hitting at a better clip than the Oilers. Is that true? But their power play did them in. 45-minute effort is seldom good enough, and it wasn't tonight. If before the season someone told me they'd have the same record as the Oil at this point, I would have taken that, but still feels like they left points behind tonight. That comes from Claude. Keep them coming on the text line at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on a Sunday night following a Flames 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time tonight and say hello to Gio to kick us off on the phone lines this evening. 403-240-4444 is your phone number, and Gio, you're kicking us off. What's going on?
Hey, Pat. First of all, I'd just like to say I can't believe Wes Gilbertson asked Pospisil that. Like, some of the media needs to ask these guys some better questions. Like, what do you think he's going to say? Oh, no, I felt great about taking
that.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm just going to cut you off there, Gio. We're not going to criticize people who can't defend themselves.
Okay.
It's tough. You go in there after a loss and try to ask questions. It's not always the easiest thing to do.
That was a tough game to lose.
So let's move on to the game.
That was a tough. Am I still on?
Yep, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, that's a tough one to lose. Like, not coming out for like 15 minutes of that first period. This team just lacks serious compete issues for playing like three full periods. They'll do it for a period or two periods. They're just too inconsistent with their 60-minute efforts. And Battle of Alberta. Like, it really lacked emotion and energy and physicality. I thought Bahal had a few good hits in the first period, and I thought he was pretty good. But the rest of them, these last couple of Battle of Alberta's, have really lacked emotion and energy.
Yeah, it's strange, Gio. Like, I was actually sitting beside Matty Rose, and we were talking about that. You know, since the playoff series in 2022, you know, the Battle of Alberta, I mean, the games have been actually pretty close, and the record is even enough. It's not like a crazy lopsided record for the Oilers or anything like that, even though they've been the better team in the standings. You're right. I mean, and part of that, I think, is the fact that number 19 is no longer here. You take Matthew Tkachuk, who is a catalyst of so much of the emotion and craziness of the Battle of Alberta when it really returned. Like, it returned there in early 2020, just before COVID, and we had we had a couple of crazy games. We had the Cassian Tkachuk, then we had the goalie fight with Smith and Talbot, and then obviously we had some of the craziness in 21-22 where there was the crazy games and the, you know, there was just a lot that went. There was the 6-2 comeback the Oilers had, and they still lost 9-6, so on and so forth. The playoff series, all of that, and since that time, it just the games have not been the same heated affairs that you like. There've been some good games. There've been some good individual performances. I still think there's lots of emotion. I still think guys get up for it. But you're right. Things haven't been as kind of hot as they have been for sure. It's been pretty much since the game five of that playoff series in 2022.
Yeah, and I feel it can be a real advantage for them against the Oilers, because the Oilers don't really have anybody to answer Maybe a guy like Nurse, but he's usually not even that physical.
And well, and with no Evander Kane right now, you're right. They don't have – there's not a lot – you know, Ekholm plays a real hard-nosed brand of hockey, and Darnell can drop the gloves, and he's a tough customer, no doubt about it. But you're right. They don't have that same – with Kane not in there, they don't have kind of that guy who really thrives on that. So you're right, and I thought that was a big part 3 weeks ago, Gio, when they won in Edmonton. I think a massive part of it was because of how much they brought the physical play to Edmonton's doorstep, and the Oilers in that game at Rogers Place had zero desire to be a part of it, had zero desire to answer physically, and so that was a big reason why the Flames won the first game between these two. Didn't see it as much tonight. I'm with you.
Yeah, and it's when the Flames are forechecking and really get on them, because their defense isn't very good at all after maybe Ekholm, but they just don't seem to – they're not consistent enough with that real hard forecheck that really creates a lot of turnovers, and really that's where they can get a lot of their offense from and really good scoring chances. But they just don't do it consistently enough with that hard, aggressive forecheck and the physical play. And my question maybe to you is, do they have enough of these players on the team? Like, because Husk has said it numerous times that they want to be that tough team to play against, and it's not easy to do it for a whole season. But these guys, they have a hard time just, you know, competing for three full periods consistently enough, like for a number of games. Is this the type of team that, you know, can play that more consistently and for three full periods?
I mean, we saw it two nights ago against New Jersey. We saw it 3 weeks ago in that game against Edmonton. We saw it for a good chunk of their 5-0-1 start. So the answer, I think, is that yes, they can, and they have, but, you know, it's not going to happen every single night either.
Yeah, and as a fan, you understand, like, you know, I never played high-level pro hockey or anything, but it's just they need to do it a lot more than not. Like they say about, you know, 80% of the time at least, or 75. And a lot of this game is mental, they say. Like when you get to this level, it's like 75-80% mental, and it's just the commitment to do it enough. Like not one game or two periods, and then you're off for two, and then it's
for
just
sure. It goes back to the Brad Treliving comment or anecdote from so long ago, which is, hey, this is a 60-minute. Sorry, not a 60-minute. This is an everyday league, but I do think a couple of things. I mean, we are talking about a Flames team that is still kind of, you know, there's still some growing and getting to know one another and all that type of stuff. So I think that plays a part in it. Sometimes you're going to work hard and you're going to get beat. And tonight they did not get off to a very good start. And so that's a lesson absolutely to bring forward for the rest of the season. It's not like they didn't know that if you got off to bad starts that you could sometimes lose hockey games, but now there's recent anecdotal evidence. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think they've shown that they can play that full 60 or close to that consistent 60, but tonight they didn't. It's a big reason why they lost the game.
Yeah, the big thing is to do it more times than not. That's and like that first, the start of the game there, like Backlund, ball went into the corner, but Backlund should have had Draisaitl in front of the net. And I didn't think he had a very good game, especially the first half. Like, there's a couple times there just
– I mean, that whole sequence was a bit of a mess. It was not on any one person as to how Draisaitl got that alone 20 seconds in.
And this team is doing some good things. And I will say, because I was kind of harsh of Huska a little bit last year, I really like how he's holding guys accountable. That's the big thing in today's NHL. No matter who you are, they got to set that culture, have that. And see, again, it comes back to identity. Like, they lacked a lot of identity for a lot of years. And that's the frustrating thing. When you see a game like tonight, they should be ready to go. you know, you're not going to win every shift, but you can't take, you know, three quarters of a period off or two periods off.
For sure.
You've got to be more consistent in that effort. And they can be really entertaining when they are playing that physical game with their heart on the forecheck, but they got to keep that identity. And when they lose it, it's not pretty.
Well, I appreciate the call tonight, Gio. You have yourself a great night, hey?
You too, Pat.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Thanks, Gio. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 4-2 loss to the Oilers here on a Sunday night. George is with us. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. I hope you're doing well tonight.
I'm doing well, indeed.
Good. Listen, bud, I'm not mad that we lost, Patty. I'm mad at who we lost. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't care, rebuild or no rebuild, I hate losing to the Oilers. But it's what it is. I will say, it's been repeated to death, but Martin, in this short season so far, Martin Pospisil's killing this team with those ill-timed penalties. That's the second time he's cost us a game, or at least a point, with a bad penalty. And more importantly, it's the bad timing of it, too. It's not only is it a bad penalty, it's the time in which you take that penalty. That's something he's got to figure out.
And I mean, it's been something that has been discussed with this player in the past as well. It was an issue at times last year. He knows it. The Flames know it. It is something that you absolutely want to see rectified. They can't happen because that can lose you close hockey games. And, you know, there's also a penalty kill that goes into it. But that's, as much as the Oilers' power play has struggled this year, that's still a pretty talented, even without number 97. You give guys like Hyman and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins enough opportunities on a power play, at some point they might burn you, and just so happens that tonight they did.
Well, 100%. You said it, right? And again, yes, I understand McDavid is the best player in the league. No question asked, but that's still a stacked Oilers team. Like,
well, and I mean, the difference between him and Draisaitl is not huge. And I thought Draisaitl was by far their best player, could have been the best player on the ice tonight. Like, it was some of the work that he did defensively, some of his, like, that. There was a time where there was a lot of talk about, you know, Draisaitl not being able to drive his own line, and at the time that talk was probably valid. That's no longer valid anymore. I think and that's not like it's a new thing either, but and Leon's got 6 points in the two games that McDavid's been out. I guess it would be Thursday and tonight. So we know that he brings his game to a different level when they've been without McDavid, and his level's already pretty high. So, you give Draisaitl an open look like they did 20 seconds in, and then you give a power play with Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and such, even without McDavid, an opportunity that late in a game. You're playing with fire for sure.
Well, in my opinion, Draisaitl's a top three player in the league. If he's not number two, for me, he's number three. That's just my opinion.
I mean, it's tough.
I mean, Edmonton is fortunate to have two of the best players in the world.
It's not like that's not a blazing hot take. You know, I love you, but that's
He's
a pretty good player.
And for sure he is. I really liked Kuzmenko's response tonight. He didn't have a good game last game, but he really bounced back well. He was dynamic. I think, like, if he can do that more than not, he's gonna really start producing again. I've also liked Anthony Mantha's bounce back. He was actually good the last two games, this game and last. I liked him.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how it goes with Mantha. He seems like one of those.
Well, in a lot of ways, are Mantha and Kuzmenko not kind of like very similar stories in that they both are plagued with inconsistency, but when they're good, they can really be good. I mean, Kuzmenko got sat down a couple nights ago against New Jersey, but it wasn't just like that was his only kind of inconspicuous game. He's been pretty invisible prior to tonight for 6 or 7 straight. And he was very good tonight. I thought he was great. I thought he was absolutely deserving of the bump up to the cadre line. But you know, that's one game. You need to see that type of dynamicism from him on a more regular basis. And it's frustrating at times because you see him play like tonight and you're like, okay, this guy can be an absolutely offensive catalyst when he's going. Why don't we see that on a more regular basis, right?
Absolutely. And then finally, I want to talk about Sharon Govich tonight. I was very happy that he got his first goal of the season. It's hard to come back from an injury like that, especially the unfortunate timing of the injury, right? He gets injured with 4 minutes left in the final preseason game, and he missed about, what, 3 weeks, something like that? And
It was 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this is what, his fourth game back, I believe, or third?
This was his fifth game back.
Fifth game back, okay.
Yep.
So, hopefully he gets it going, because, I mean, last year, he was like the offensive driver of the team, right? And if this team's going to get goals, he's got to be one of the ones putting it in the net. So I've seen positive steps, especially the last two games. So hopefully he can keep it up because, you know, win or lose, I mean, he's a very, very vital part of this team. Very vital.
Yep.
All right, my man. Listen, that's all I got for tonight. Thank you for having me on, buddy, and I hope you have a great night. We'll talk soon.
All right, Georgie, we'll talk soon. Some early games that are more in your time zone next week so you don't have to stay up too late.
Yeah, that'll help me out for sure on sleeping, so for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, George. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Good night, brother.
403-240-4444 is your phone number as the Flames fall 4-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. It's your Flames Talk post-game show here on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say hello to Anand on the program. What's up, Anand? How are we doing?
Good evening, Patty. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I actually missed the first period tonight because I was at a play-by-play gig. But do you agree that the first period was as bad as people are describing all through the program tonight?
The start was. They definitely got to their game in the back half of the first period and started to gain some momentum from that.
All right, gotcha. And then, yeah, I heard Kuzmenko got a bump up in the lineup. I think that was well-deserving. I caught the second and part of the second period and third period part of the game, and I like how he played. He was dynamic as well. And did I hear correctly that Zari was benched towards, like, especially the middle portion and the late portion of the third period?
Not so much benched, but he and Kuzmenko swapped. So now Zary's playing on the fourth line, and the fourth line, just especially in tight games, you know, you just use them less as games go along. So wasn't benched, just more demoted.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then, yeah, Pospisil, I think him taking that penalty, I think we have seen experiences of that, taking penalties at the wrong times. I think maybe that costed us for the game. But I think a couple of things, obviously, to blame, kind of, so maybe the slow starts and the special teams as well. And then taking penalties at the unwarranted time, I think, led to the loss. Do anybody agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the penalty that Pospisil took was a really rough one. Bad timing on that, and in the offensive zone to boot, right? So, yeah, that definitely did not help them, and made it tough on them for sure.
All right, gotcha. And then one final question for you. How did you like the Barry and Pahal pairing? I know Barry had a jump tonight. He got his first assist tonight. But then what about Pahal? I think I didn't notice as much as Barry did tonight.
I thought it was actually, I thought that pairing was pretty strong, honestly. I liked the pairing. I thought Pahal played with some physicality. So I actually thought that Pahal and Barry as a duo had a pretty solid night. Honestly, it's weird because you want, I think you'd like to get Jake Bean back in, but at the same time,
yeah.
I thought Barry Pahal played well, and I thought that was Barry's best game, period, with the Flames, but also, for the first time, you really saw him with a little traction on the power play, too, which I thought was a positive to see.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I think Pahal has seen a couple of different pairings already, like Vigor and Pahal, Barry and Pahal, and then now
we've seen all kinds of different pairings. Only Ball and Anderson have stayed together. We've seen Miramanov and Uyghur. We've seen Barry and Uyghur. We've seen Pahal and Uyghur. We've seen Pahal and Barry, Pahal and Bean. So we've seen all kinds. The one game we saw Hanley and Bean. So we've seen all kinds of different permutations in the bottom four defense.
Have you liked anyone specifically so far, or do you think the rotation keeps working well, kind of thing?
In what sense?
Especially with Pahal, I think he is the one who has seen most changes in pairing. Do you have one specific pairing that you have liked when he's paired with Pahal?
I haven't minded Bean and Pahal. I haven't been super down on Bean, to be perfectly honest. I think he's played decent. I think that there would be reason to bring him back in. So Bean and Pahal's been fine, but I actually quite like Barry and Pahal tonight. I thought they played pretty well.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, that sounds good. And then probably for Tuesday against Canadians, I think Wolf can get a nod to start, right? Just because Vladar went kind of back-to-back, and then now Dustin Wolf can get the crease on Tuesday.
Yeah, I would say so. That would be my guess. That's what I would do for sure. I don't think Vladar was poor tonight. I thought he was shaky to start, but that shakiness didn't really lead to either the two goals against. And then I thought he settled in pretty nicely and actually gave him a pretty quality start.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, Pat, for answering my questions. I appreciate it, and talk to you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Ann. We'll talk soon, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, man. 403-240-44 is your phone number. Got a few lines open if you want to chat on this Sunday night. Flames lose round two of the Battle of Alberta, 4-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. Phone lines at 403-240-4444. Text line remains open at 960-960 as well. Let's head back inside the Flames locker room. Heck of a night for Anthony Mantha. Three high-danger scoring chances, scores the goal, was the screen on the other goal. Thought it was a pretty solid night for Anthony Mantha. More nights like this, and I think Flames fans will be pretty happy about what they're seeing. Let's hear from Anthony Mantha. He spoke post-game inside the Flames locker room a little earlier tonight.
Were you a little concerned it was going to get called back?
A little bit. you just never know. It kind of felt high in the moment, and you look at the replay, and it's a little different, and thing is, they called it a good goal on the ice, and then it's hard to reverse that if it's not flagging.
Did it feel like that was going to give you guys a chance to bounce back in the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we needed one. Our power play needed one. Kind of end of the first kind of gave us a spark the way we were playing and carried in the second, and I think we kind of played a good second and third.
What ultimately did you think was the difference tonight?
Start the first 10, 15. They started hungry, we didn't, and cost us the game.
Frustrating to sort of claw back into the game and then have it slip away like that?
Obviously. I mean, it's part of hockey, though. You need to play 60. If not, you're not winning a lot of games in this league. And we battle back to bring it interesting, and obviously they get a spring on the power play for them, and we're playing catch-up hockey at that point.
What worked for you individually? Like, you get the goal, you, I think, provided the screen on the second one. What did you feel like you were doing to be impactful tonight?
I think I was moving. I was trying to move as much as I could. Obviously, early in the game when you're chasing the puck, it's a little harder. You kind of feel like you're skating for nothing. But then we started to play with the puck, making plays, and that tip goal. And then we said we needed to shoot against this guy and a good screen, and he didn't see it, so it went in.
That is Anthony Mantha post-game. Solid night for number 39. See if heading back to his hometown in Montreal on Tuesday. Get another good game out of Anthony Mantha as well. Again, I keep going back to that quote from head coach Ryan Huska early on. When you see Mantha on nights like this, you're like, damn, one of the best players on the ice, one of the best players for the Flames tonight. And then you also see other nights where you're like, where's Mantha? And then sometimes he is detrimental. So like that's the consistency frustration that you get in a guy like Mantha. But tonight, if you get more games like this tonight, well, then you've got a real impact maker, and he was a big-time impact maker here this evening. So see what they get from him. He was born, grew up right across the river in Montreal, so he is back in Montreal with the Flames on Tuesday to take on the Canadiens. That's the next game for Calgary as they try to get back on the winning side of things. All of a sudden, you know, they lose this game. They have the four losses prior. All of a sudden, it's five losses in six. So the Flames start the season with wins in five of six, and they follow that up with losses in five of six. So big game coming up against Montreal on Tuesday. It's Steinberg along with you. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, right now, we got lots of phone lines open, so I'll put out the last call for phone calls. Last call if you want to chime in on this Sunday night, 403-240-4444. Call now if you want to chat, and as well, keep your texts coming. Plenty of texts. Text line is buzzing tonight, so get those in as well at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame available wherever you get your podcasts, and of course live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Flames fall 4-2 to the Edmonton Oilers in round two of this year's Battle of Alberta. It is Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Last call for phone calls. Couple of lines open, so if you want to jump in, now is the time to do so. Last call at 403-240-4444, and keep the text coming as well at 960-960. Lots of text to get to on this Sunday night as well, as you continue to get in line either on the text line or on the phone lines. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room for a final time. Andre Kuzmenko had himself a really nice night. No points for number 96 tonight, but he was dynamic. Here's Andre Kuzmenko post-game inside the Flames locker room.
You were bumped up, Andre. Just how did you feel about your game? It looked like you were touching the puck a lot. How do you feel out there?
I feel every day is better. I understand as a little bad start for me, and bad start this season. I understand this, my mistake. I need to play better. I need to help this team. It's so simple. It's everyday hard work. And some gym, it doesn't matter. And I need to score for this team. And now, just one goal from 12 games is so bad for me.
Did you feel? Understanding, you just said you don't like the start to the season. Did you feel today could be a step for you?
Yes. I'm feeling how I can play. I understand. But it's little bit step up. But I need to play more.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the scoring, Andre, what areas do you feel like you can get better at so far, outside just the goals?
Yes. I need for me just 1-2 goals in the start and push myself and let's go. Yes, I understand how I can play. I remember how I can play in the last season and the last 15 games, 20 games is so good for me in Calgary. But now I have a little problem. But it's okay. Stay positive. Every day work. There's one moment I score goals and good win for me.
Did you like the bounce back from your team tonight after a tough start?
What's bounce back?
Did you guys respond that you were down?
Ah, about line?
You got better.
Yes, and for me it doesn't matter because this locker room is a lot of good players. They're all good players. It doesn't matter if you play in the first line and you play in the fourth line. And we have a lot of chance today in playing the fourth line. And the rooms in the lobby are very good players. And it doesn't matter this locker room with who play. It's so simple.
There you go. That is Andre Kuzmenko post-game following tonight's 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Definitely positive to see Kuzmenko respond after he got benched a couple of nights ago. Nice to see him respond tonight. And let's see what he does come Monday, where he plays. Is he on the Kadri line? Is he elsewhere? Curious to see how that plays itself out as well. Okay, let's get back to the text line tonight at 960-960. This from Brad, who says, so what is Pospisil's story? He just doesn't seem to have the juice this year. Is he hurt? I don't know. I don't believe. I mean, he's obviously not hurt enough to be missing games. I don't believe we're talking about him playing through anything significant. I do wonder about the change to center. They really wanted to try Pospisil at center, and I just wonder if all of what goes into being a center iceman and such, if that maybe just took away from the kind of natural and innate way that he was playing last year, where he was a real impactful player. So I think that might be part of it. And I still think that as a result, there's been a little bit of, I don't know, just a little bit of an adjustment going on. So that would be my best guess. And now I wonder if, might be a little up in his own head a little bit. And especially he's taken some bad penalties. So that would maybe be my hypothesis. But I don't believe like we're talking about him playing through anything significant right now. This is Scott in Strathmore who says, I think we're going to see a lot of games like this year, unfortunately, but it's part of the process. Good team, but don't have the high-level talent to push them over the top. Similar to how the Winnipeg and Carolina games went, Calgary probably outplayed the other team for 35 of 60 minutes or more. But the other team's more talented and is able to punish Calgary more in their 25 minutes of being the better team. Embrace the losses. Enjoy the wins. Excited to see how Zeri responds on Tuesday. I know he'll be good. What else we got at 960-960? This says, very frustrating. The first six games they played hard and consistent. Now they aren't moving their feet or finishing checks. And what's up with Kadri? He appears to be very disengaged the past couple of games. I thought he was very engaged against New Jersey on Friday. I did think that he fought it a little bit in this game tonight, however. This from John, who asks, what were the Flames' individual face-offs in this game this evening? In terms of your centers, Backlund went 11 and 14, so 11 for 25 at 44%. Promising night again. I give Yegor Sharangovich some credit. He has gotten better on the faceoff side of things this year. He went 8 for 14 at 57%. Rooney went 4 for 5 at 80%. Kadri 8 for 14 at 57%. Those were the faceoff numbers. Overall, Flames won 53% of the faceoffs this evening. This says, Kuzmenko's the most skilled guy on the team with a great attitude. He's trying to learn the North American game. That comes from Mick. And I do agree that, in terms of dynamic skill and such, there's no doubt Kuzmenko is the number one guy on the team. Just needs to be a little bit more consistent. This is year three in North America, so I don't discount what Mick's saying. I still think there is an adjustment period going on, but you are still looking for more consistency out of number 96 this evening. What else we got here at 960? This says, stop piling on Pospisil. Where was the team in the first period? Why aren't we talking about their so-called elite players like Huberdeau and Kadri? I'd rather see a guy working hard than floating around. I mean, we're not piling on so much as we're pointing out that was a poor penalty to take. This from Dave on the East Coast. From my vantage point, 4,600 kilometers from YYC, Hyman looked offside. Am I the only one who wanted that challenge? I thought it as well. It looked offside to me from my view in real time. On the replay, though, it was clearly onside. I think they would have lost that challenge. So I thought it was a good call not to challenge because I did think it was a pretty clear onside play. But at first, my initial inclination was, that was close in real time. And watching on the ice, I did actually wonder if it was offside or not. This reads, the Pospisil penalty wasn't smart, but I can see why it happened. Right before the high stick, Marty got hit in the face. Not sure if it was an elbow or shoulder to the face, but there should have been a call on the Oilers right before that. Doesn't change the fact he shouldn't have retaliated. That's where he needs to mature. but all the techs of him being a liability is too much. There are a lot of players who would retaliate. If they got hit in the face, it's unfortunate the refs only saw him retaliate. Then on this side, from Ben and Kamloops, Pospisil and the stupid penalties are becoming a real problem. He needs to come out of the lineup. He's been terrible for weeks and continues to take brutal penalties. What else we got here at 960 on the text line? Reading through some of the text, seeing which ones are on point and need to be read or not. This reads from Smiley. Do you think Huska is a bit too quick to bench players during the game at times? I'm feeling sort of bad for the guys. Honestly, Smiley, no. I think that he does a nice job of holding players accountable. And it's never like it feels like a certain player is in a doghouse, right? Like, remember last year he sat down Huberto and all those shots of Huberto on the bench, so on and so forth? It was a one-game thing. He was right back to playing his normal minutes the next game. It's more of a game management thing than it is a sending a message thing. Like, this tonight was not a, hey, Zeri, I'm mad at you, you're going to the fourth line. This was a Kuzmenko's playing well. Zeri's maybe not as on it as he usually is. Let's make the swap. And he's not going to punish Zeri going forward. And look, Kuzmenko got benched on Friday night, played on the fourth line to start tonight, and got moved up. Like, to me, that seems like a coach that holds you accountable in-game but doesn't hold a grudge, if that makes any sense, which I think is a good thing for a coach in terms of managing his players. This says from Leanne in Camrose, that game really could have changed if it wasn't for that late penalty. The momentum was there. Vladar was solid, I felt. Defense has to be their priority. Dave writes, I was at the game tonight, and it sure looked to me like Pospisil got high-sticked a second before he took his penalty for high-sticking. Not sure if you got a better look at that or not, but would love to hear your thoughts. Thought Kuzmenko responded very nicely to being demoted to the fourth line, had a few really good shifts. Nice to see Mantha have a big game as well. Like him in front of the net. Tough loss, but could have gone either way. I know the Oilers didn't have McDavid, but they look like they've taken a couple steps back from last year, and I'm totally okay with that. They do kind of look like that at times, honestly. Now, I think that there's a good chance they figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, no McDavid tonight. Obviously, you're missing the best player on the planet. But they did take a 2-0 lead, and then they weren't able to keep their foot on the gas. Credit goes to the Flames for forcing that as well. I do think the couple of techs that have talked about, yes, something happened, whether it was the shoulder or something did catch Pospisil before that, but doesn't change the fact you got to be responsible with your stick. Officials are going to call a high stick like that all the time. Here's the other thing, is that it could have been four. I know the Oilers were campaigning. It did draw blood on Ekholm. The officials didn't feel it was enough blood is kind of what the officials, when you read their lips, it kind of felt like that's what they were saying. But Ekholm wasn't even able to start the power play because he had to go get patched up, and then he came on for the power play. So, I mean, the Flames kind of got a little fortunate in a lot of ways that didn't go for more than just 2 minutes on the high stick. And the officials are going to call that one all the time. Whether or not there was something that happened before that, almost irrelevant. Not almost irrelevant, but like it doesn't change the fact that Pospisil still has to manage situations better, or that situation better, and has to be more responsible in that situation with his stick. What else we got here at 960? This reads, I think Coronado is getting really close to getting a permanent spot on this team. He's shown a lot recently, and I think he deserves his spot. Regarding Pospisil, really unfortunate because he has so much talent, but he's showing to be almost unplayable right now late in games with his penalties. He's young, though, and has lots of time to gain that experience. Hard to get him into those situations when you're trying to win, but he needs it. And I think that is very much true. And I think that is this is another development opportunity for a young guy like Martin Pospisil. And this reads, Zeri and Pospisil are still growing, but Martin concerns me. Does the organization have the patience, or is this a Bennett 2.0? That's from Bruce in Vancouver. I think they'll be patient because Craig Conroy is a huge fan and the coach is a huge fan. So I do think that they will be patient when it comes to Pospisil. And we saw how he could impact things in a really positive way a lot last season. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. Appreciate all your texts. A few more phone calls to get to this evening at 403-240-4444. Three more calls to get to as we say hello to Eric on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Flames lose 4-2 in round two of the Battle of Alberta. What's up, Eric? Eric, you there? Eric going once, going twice. No, Eric. So let's say hello to Bob. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Pat. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm well. I have a couple. Saw the second and third periods, and okay with the result. You win some, lose some. But I have two questions for you.
Sure.
The first one is about the Sportsnet TV broadcast. When the Flames play Oilers or Canucks, which are Sportsnet, carry those team games as well, what broadcast do the other team's fans see when their teams are playing in Calgary?
So at least in Alberta, I believe it's for the two Alberta teams, the home broadcast goes to both. So tonight, John Abbott and Kelly Rudy and Ryan Leslie were who you got in both Calgary and Edmonton. And much like when the Flames were there, it was Jack Michaels and Louis DeBrusque and Gene Principe who we got in both markets.
Okay, I was out of town for that game, so I don't remember it. And
yeah, but that's how they're doing it with the Calgary-Edmonton games. Vancouver's different because they're in a different region, so they're on Sportsnet Pacific. So Vancouver games, I believe that when they're not national games, the first Vancouver game was a national game, so same broadcast crew for both cities. But when they're both regional broadcasts, Vancouver will have their crew with Shorthouse and Co., and Calgary will get this crew, I believe.
Okay. Now, my second question is about the schedule. And I know that this year with Battle of Alberta, there's only three games because of all the expansion. But one game was the third game of the season. One game was the 12th game of the season.
Yeah, Bob, you're going to get no argument from me on this one. I don't know why there are only three battles of Alberta. I do not have an answer. Even with 32 teams and all that, they're playing other teams four times. They should never – you play most – so there's eight teams in a conference. You play five, I believe it's five teams you play four times and two teams you play three times inside your division, rather, not conference. So in your division with eight teams, you play five teams four times and two teams three times. This is the second time in 3 years the Flames and Oilers have only played on three occasions. That should never happen. These two teams should play four times a year every single year. It doesn't matter that they rotate through them. The Flames and Oilers and the Flames and Canucks should play four times every year, no questions asked, period. The fact that the Flames and Oilers have only played three times in a season, two of the last three seasons, is ludicrous and just really poor scheduling from the NHL. I know there are arena commitments. I know there are other things that go into it and television schedules and all of that. To me, it's all just BS. put the you play like Florida and Tampa should play four times a year every single year. Toronto and Montreal should play four times a year. Boston and Montreal, Toronto and Boston, same thing. Calgary and Edmonton should play four times a year. Calgary and Vancouver should play four times a year. They should probably spread them out. You're right on that front. But I honestly do not have an answer as to why that is the case, Bob, because I think it's silliness as well.
Yeah, my question was more, you just hit on it there. My question was more about spreading it out.
Yeah, I think that, and that probably, there's probably some good wisdom to that as well. Because now they don't play again until March 29th.
Yeah. Well, in one of the last few seasons here in Calgary, the Canucks came twice. And the first visit was on December 14th. And their second visit was on New Year's Eve. Do we trade it? That's just as ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. A lot of the times there's arena availability and all that type of stuff. Like, it is a very complicated thing putting together an entire 82 game schedule for 32 teams. Like, I get it that the actual spreading things out is a little bit more difficult because of all the different permutations that go into it. But one thing that should be guaranteed is the Flames and Oilers play four times a year. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess my comment is, as a season ticket holder, it would be nice to be able to see the teams at different times in the season, not two or three weeks apart. That's
fair enough, Bob. Fair enough.
That's all I have to say tonight. So.
All right, pal. It's good to hear from you. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting old, and I have more time on my hands to call you.
We'll call anytime. You know you're always welcome.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
All right, Bob, be well, pal. Let's say hello to Nick. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm just calling. This is my first time calling in.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I'm just calling in because I think that the Flames need to maybe think about making some changes.
What kind of changes?
Well, when they've lost five in a row, maybe they need to think about making some, maybe changing their highest paid player, which is Jonathan Huberdeau.
So what would the change be?
Maybe changing him back to Florida.
Well, that's the Panthers are pretty happy with the way things have gone. They're the Stanley Cup champions, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but they've lost five in a row. Is that correct?
Who?
The Flames.
They've lost five of six.
Yeah. So at this point, maybe Conroy needs to think about making some major changes.
They're in a much bigger picture mode of thinking than knee jerk reacting to 12 games into the season. I don't, major changes probably right now are not in the cards.
Yeah, maybe not, but I don't know. It just seems like. Six losses in a row just seems like a little bit extreme.
Not six in a row, five of six. But, yeah, I mean, there's and Nick, I appreciate the call. But, yeah, they absolutely need to get things back on track Tuesday in Montreal because five of six. They won five of six going 5-0-1 to start the season. They've now lost five of six in response going 1-5-0. So the only difference is they did pick up a point in the one game that they lost to begin with, and that's why they are just above the 500 mark right now. So, you know, five of six has turned it into where, okay, well, Tuesday's game in Montreal, That's a pretty big one for him because you don't want to let this thing get too far the other way. Great stuff on the phone lines tonight. Great stuff on the text line, as always. Appreciate everybody chiming in and hanging out with us on a Sunday here on our Flames Talk post-game show as we start to move towards the end of our program this evening. It's time for your final summary following a 4-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. So the Oilers got off to a great start. The Flames got off to a poor start, and so this is how this game went this evening. The Oilers opened at 20 seconds into the game with a Leon Draisaitl goal. So Leon Draisaitl left all alone in the slot, and with that backhand, tough for Dan Vladar to make a stop. Draisaitl scores to make it 1-0, his ninth from Vasily Podkolzin, 20 seconds in, one rip. Oilers then at 8-12, Jeff Skinner scores to make it 2-0. Skinner's third from Zach Hyman at 8-12, and the Oilers had a 2-0 lead after 20. Flames started to get to their game, though, as the first period went along, and they carried that into the second, drew a penalty, and finally scored a power play goal. Anthony Mantha, nice redirect to make it 2-1 on the power play at 4:33 of the second period. Mantha's fourth of the year from Tyson Barrie and Michael Backlund. For Barrie, his first point as a member of the Flames. Calgary down 2-1 after 40 minutes of play. To the third period we go, where Yegor Sharangovich ties it at 4:28, using Mantha as a screen. Sharangovich picks up his first of the season from Kevin Ball at 4:28. This game tied 2-2, but about 4 minutes later, Martin Pospisil takes an ozone penalty for high sticking, puts the Oilers to the power play, and they cash in on this power play for the eventual game winner. Zach Hyman scores his second of the year. Hyman from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl at 10-10 on the power play to make it 3-2. The Oilers ice it into an empty net at 19:57. Matthias Janmark gets his first of the year from Draisaitl and Darnell Nurse, and that gets us to our 4-2 final score. Final shots, 31-30 in favor of the Oilers. Calgary 1-for-2 on the power play tonight. Edmonton 1-for-3 with the man advantage this evening. Your three stars in the building: number 3, Yegor Sharangovich; number 2, Anthony Mantha; and your number 1 star tonight with a goal and 3 points was Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers. Your hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Anthony Mantha. With the loss, Flames fall to 6-5-1. They're back in action Tuesday on the road in Montreal, while Edmonton improves to 6-5-1. Identical records for the two teams now. Oilers back in action tomorrow, Monday, at home to New Jersey. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Evan Cody, for our reporter, Matty Rose, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for Calgary, as I mentioned, Tuesday night in Montreal, start time 5 o'clock, which means we're on the air early with your Flames warm-up at 4 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Have yourself a wonderful week ahead. Your final score on a Sunday night from the Scotiabank Saddledome: Flames fall in the Battle of Alberta 4-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.